If you would, take your Bibles and turn to two different portions of Scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and then also Matthew chapter 17. Matthew 17, let's stand together, just two verses, Matthew 17, verses 22 and 23. 2020, do you think it's important that today's believers live godly lives? Thank you, the three of you. We all believe it, don't we? That we should live godly lives. And may I encourage you that though it may not be popular today to be a Bible believer, we need to believe the Word of God. And we need to stand up for the fact that there is one way into heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ. If we could get there some other way, Jesus Christ did not need to come and die. Simply put. And it says in Matthew chapter 17, verses 22 and 23, "And while they abode in Galilee, Jesus said unto them, The Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men, and they shall kill him, and the third day he shall be raised again. And they were exceeding sorry." Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for the salvation that we have in Jesus Christ. And Lord, we pray if there is one today that has never made that commitment to you, may this be that day. And Lord, we that have accepted thee as Savior, may we be committed to the church and to the message of the Word of God. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Why should we faithfully and purposefully serve the Lord in 2020? Not just because Pastor Paul says we should, but I believe that our Lord has a plan for a healthy Christian life. John 10:10 says, "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." To be within the will of the Lord, there are certain things that we need to do. And as we begin 2020, I think it'd be good to list some of those things and take them to heart. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we'll begin reading at verse 9. 1 Corinthians 3, 9, "For we are laborers together with God. We are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work for what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are." Reverend James Burgess writes that to have an abundant Christian life, it is necessary to trust and obey the Lord, the Word of God, and to love the church, to love the church. Consider what our Lord has done for the church. Number one, he founded it. We read a couple of weeks ago, about a month now, from Matthew 16:18, and I say unto you that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall prevail against it. In the book of Ephesians, we find that he loves the church. He says in Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. And then he gave himself for it. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Therefore, we should also love the church. It should be precious to us. It should be something for which we desire to be a part of and to minister in. There are a number of things that I believe we need to do to have a healthy Christian life. Did you catch the word healthy? A healthy Christian life. Number one, you all know what it is. You're all here to attend the services. Hebrews, if you would please, chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. If we're going to have a healthy relationship with the Lord, we must be willing to attend the house of God. And it says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Have you all heard the term, well done, thou good and faithful servant? I mean, if you've gone to church for any length of time, you've probably heard a pastor or a teacher talk about the fact that Jesus is going to say to some, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well done. Do you think he's going to throw it out just flippantly? Let me give you an example, and I've told you this before. When my grandson Luke played on a T-ball league, everybody got a trophy. When I asked him how many games he won, he says, I don't know. I said, how many games did you lose? He goes, I don't know. When I went to a game, everybody batted every inning. Some of the players, when they went out to the field, sat down on the grass and looked the opposite way at the road. Yet they all were given a trophy. They all were said, told, well done. Really? Was it really well done? No. No, it wasn't. See, when the Lord says, well done, thou good and faithful servant, it's going to be to those who have done what the Lord desires. And we need to remember that he loves the church. He loves the church. So is he going to say it to someone who comes to church once in a while? I don't think so. How about someone who only attends the 11 o'clock service? Do you think he's going to say it to those who only come at the 11 o'clock service? Or do you think he's going to say well done to those who were faithful to the house of God and to the services and work of the church? I got these statistics from a message entitled, Do We Expect Too Much of Our Members? I thought that title was kind of interesting. Do we expect too much of our members? And these statistics were about Baptists. Now that would be us. We attend a Baptist church. It said 66% of Bible members do little or nothing for the church. I thought, wow, 66%. It continued, 75% of Baptist members never attend Sunday evening services. 85% never attend Wednesday evening services. And 95% never invite anyone to the house of God. Is that a scary thought? That's why it's so quiet in here, isn't it? 95% never invite anyone to the house of God. Is the house of God important to the Lord? It is very important to the Lord. Number two, to have a healthy Christian life, we need to read the Word of God daily. Would you please turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. We must do it to grow and mature in the Word and work of God. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. It says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The word of God is food for the soul. Let me read to you from the book of Jeremiah, the book of Jeremiah chapter 15 and verse 16. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. It's food for the soul. It's light for the journey. Psalm 119, 105 says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Why do you think there are so many people today walking around spiritually blind? Because they have no light. They're walking around spiritually anemic because they don't eat the Word of God. They don't ingest it. They are spiritually weaklings. The Word of God brings comfort and cheer and direction. Number three, we need to talk to God in prayer. Do you believe it's important to talk to God in prayer? Now, don't raise your hands. Don't drop your head. Don't look apologetic. But did you pray for the morning service today? Did you pray for it yesterday? Did you pray, Lord, please have that pastor say something I want to hear? Did you pray for the service today? Did you pray for it this morning? Maybe as you drove to church today, did you pray and say, Lord, please, bless the Covenant Baptist Church today. The book of 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17 says, pray without ceasing. That means throughout the day, we're to pray. Not just maybe if you have Bible devotions in the morning, but throughout the day, you need to pray. To pray, to remember what the Lord has done. The devil trembles when he sees the weakest saint on their knees. Because the devil knows how strong prayer is and how important it is. Let me ask you this. Did Jesus pray? He prayed, didn't he? He prayed when he was alone. He prayed with the disciples. When he was on the cross, did he pray? He prayed. Jesus prayed. If Jesus prayed, do you think we ought to pray? We need to pray. If we're going to have a healthy communication, what would you think? What would you think of me if I told you that Donna and I haven't talked in 17 months? What would you think? What would you think if I told you that we hadn't talked in 17 days? What would you think? Man, that's not good. What if I told you we haven't talked in 17 hours? You'd say, well, I guess you've been busy. Were you sleeping? Well, part of that is the Lord our lover. We're to love the Lord, right? Does he love you? Yes. In other words, don't you think we ought to be in communication with our Lord? Absolutely. I think it's important that we pray one for another. And I've told you before, you need to pray for me. Right? Have I told you that? I need your prayers. So we need to pray. We need to read the Bible. We need to be in church. Oh, you're going to love this one. You need to support God's work. You need to support God's work. Proverbs 3:9 says, honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of thine increase. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 and 7. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly, And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly, nor of necessity, for God loveth what? A cheerful giver. The Old Testament prophet Malachi wrote these words, "Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now wherewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." May I say this, that the greatest giver of all time is God. Number one, God gives life. And then God gives what is necessary for us to have eternal life with him. Number five, invite others to church and to Christ. You know, when you like something, you tell people about it. When you enjoy something, you tell people about it. The church is important. Matthew 4:19, "And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Acts 1:8 says, "And ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Invite others to church. I've heard this said, when you pay your electric bill, if it's not automatic received out of your checking account, but if you send a check in the mail, put a track in there. Or is you're afraid, well, they'll turn off my electricity. No, they won't. No, they won't. Number six, walk circumspectly. Ephesians 5:15-17, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding that the will of the Lord," or what the will of the Lord is. In other words, we need to walk properly, honestly. 1 Corinthians 15:34, "If you don't hear anything else I say today, if you've forgotten everything else I've said, remember this verse, 1 Corinthians 15:34, "Awake to righteousness, and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame." That verse hurts. That verse hurts because we need to wake up to what is necessary in our lives. We need to know the knowledge of God, because some don't, and we need to share it. And if we don't, shame on us. Colossians 4:5, "Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time." 1 Peter 2:11-12, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation." May I say this, that your neighbor ought to know where you go to church. Not that you go to church, that your neighbor knows where you go to church. You say, well, I'd be embarrassed. Well, okay. Do it anyways. Don't you think you ought to be a testimony to your neighbor? And I don't mean just taking their garbage can out of the road when it rolls out there on trash day and you put it up on the curb. Folks, there's nothing more important in this world than our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the church for which he died. Do you realize that? I mean, it doesn't matter if the lion season is over, praise God. But the church is more important than the Detroit Lions. The Lord is more important than Lakeside Mall. The Lord is more important than Ford Motor Company and General Motors and Chrysler Corporation. Okay? He is more important than the educational system that we have in our country. He's more important than the United States of America. Do you realize that? That the church and the Lord Jesus Christ is of great importance. And the only thing that comes close is your family. You understand me? Your family is important. Your family is important to God. Your family is important to the church. Your family is important to you. But the fact of the matter is, too many people have become complacent. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Folks, we are in a race. And yet too many believers are sitting down on the sidelines, rubbing their feet and saying, "I'm tired. I don't want to do anymore." Folks, the race isn't over yet, and there's a job to be done. In conclusion, why do these things? Why do these things? In just a moment, we're going to have the Lord's Supper. Why do we have the Lord's Supper? It's to commemorate what he has done for us. That he was willing to come to earth, to die for us, rise again from the dead, ascend back into heaven. But he did this for us. And the church is given that responsibility to continue the message of Jesus Christ. Hebrews 12:2 says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Shall we stand together? 2020. Will you end the year spiritually more mature than you began the year? Will you be stronger in the faith? Will you take a more active part in the church? 2020. As 2019 ended, were you stronger for the Lord in, at the end of 2019 than you were at the end of 2018? Some people don't like to make resolutions. I understand. But I believe we should be resolved to serve the Lord, to faithfully serve him. Dear Heavenly Fathers, we have this invitation time. Lord, if there's one here that doesn't know thee as Savior, Lord, we would be glad to show them from the Word of God what must needs be done. And Lord, for that one today that as the words were being spoken thought, yes, I need to do that. Lord, maybe they'd be willing even today to come and pray about it and commit themselves to do more for you in 2020. Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.